Today is Palm Sunday, the last Sunday in the season of Lent, and the gospel pointed for today is from Matthew chapter 21, beginning with the first verse. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. There is something about Palm Sunday which seems, at first, almost out of place. The mood of the people is festive as the King of the Jews comes to his holy city, Jerusalem. The shouts of Hosanna, the very great multitude spreading their own clothes on the road, although perhaps not a red carpet and a brass band, is still something we readily recognize as a glorious reception for a much-anticipated king. It is not hard for us to picture those multitudes in our minds, and their actions, their words, seem so out of place with the weeks of Lent which have already passed, and the observances of Holy Week which lie before us. What are we to make of this seeming contradiction between Lent and Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem? We can see their harmony in the words of the Collect for today, where we will pray, "Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of Jesus' patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection." You see, the crowds did not know that they would soon fall away from the Messiah, but Jesus knew. We too may vow great fidelity to our Savior and show zeal, but soon we are tempted again. Christ patiently suffers all, even death for us, and makes us partakers of his resurrection. On this occasion, we can see that the multitude understood that they were watching prophecy fulfilled before them. God's word promised, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt the foal of a donkey." Now the multitudes desired to make Jesus king. After Jesus fed the 5,000 in the wilderness, we are told that the great multitude with him in the wilderness wanted to take him by force to make him king. When they saw Jesus riding into Jerusalem, just as the prophet said the king would come, they must have thought they were finally going to get what they wanted. The multitudes greet Jesus with the words, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They acknowledge that he is of King David's line, and that he is the fulfillment of the promises God made concerning the Messiah. And so Jesus rode into Jerusalem and came to the temple. There Jesus drove out the money changers, and then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. If anyone might have doubted who he was, again Jesus shows powerful signs in the temple itself that he is indeed the Messiah. Scripture tells us that while Jesus was in the temple, the children were crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Can you picture all of this in your mind? The expectation of the crowd, their expectant cries, the devotion demonstrated down to the youngest children. And yet, a few days later, the leaders of the Jews would cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." The crowds would cry for Barabbas, the murderous rebel, to be released, rather than Jesus, the one whom Jerusalem had welcomed as king. Even the 12 would not stand with Jesus. Judas would betray him. Peter would deny him. And they ran away from him when he was arrested. How can this be? The words of the crowd Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Ought to be familiar. For we sing in the church something quite similar. Before the communion, in the Sanctus, the congregation sings, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Where the multitudes once acknowledged Jesus to be the Son of David, which he is, we also confess on the basis of Holy Scripture that he is Lord God of Sabaoth. Sabaoth, by the way, is not Sabbath. Lord God of Sabaoth means he is Lord God of hosts, that is, all the heavenly hosts. The threefold Hosanna and Blessed is he confess the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, one of the three persons of the one true God. Just as the people once cried out, Hosanna, as Christ Jesus came to the temple, now we sing the same in the Sanctus, as we know Christ Jesus comes to his church and is truly present in his body and blood in the holy sacrament of the altar. The words of the liturgy are no accident. Together we are confessing in them that Christ is present in his holy sacrament, just as surely as he was present in the temple. Our words acknowledge and confess that Christ Jesus is truly God. When Christ came to his temple, it was as St. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus chose to come in the form of a bondservant. No king among the nations of men would ride in upon a donkey. Jesus could have come with power and glory, in appearance as when Peter and James and John saw him upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Instead, the glory of his divine nature was concealed, but was borne witness to by Jesus' words and the miracles which he performed, which bore witness to his teaching. In all of this, he fulfills the words of the promise given in Zechariah chapter 9. God will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the king shall ride upon a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So among us, Christ Jesus comes to us, his body and blood together with the bread and wine. Our senses do not perceive his body and blood, but the word of Jesus Christ promises that he is there. And we receive him with a joy like that of his people when they greeted him so long ago. But where will your heart and words and actions be this Friday? By week's end, will your life and words boldly confess that Christ Jesus is Lord? Or will you be saying with Peter, I never knew the man? Every sin is, first of all, a violation of the first commandment, which declares, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sin is placing our will, our desires, before that which God has commanded. If the guilt of the Jews was great when they rejected the one who is the true king, what excuse can you offer for your sins when you know Jesus to be very God of very God? We hear in the epistle lection for today that the name of Jesus is the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I would ask you now to think back a year, for it's been a year already. Remember last year when there was all the controversy over Mel Gibson's release of his movie, The Passion, and all of the excitement that it stirred among Christians, the anger that it stirred among others. But overall, it led to a great deal of conversation and attention to the salvation which Christ Jesus accomplished upon the cross. I remember at the time all the stories that were in the news media about how piety was being stirred within the hearts of the people, about those who were confessing sins and crimes which they had committed, sometimes years in the past. And all across the country, it seemed for a brief time, as if there had been a stirring within the hearts of God's people to a renewed piety. Church attendance was up all around the nation. Talking with other pastors, they would comment to me that attendance at their services during the season of Lent was higher that year than they'd seen in previous years. But for many, it seems, that zeal was a fleeting thing. For a time, it stirred up great emotions and even, perhaps, some changes in behavior. But at the end of the day, as the memory faded, as the thoughts of that had been stirred by the controversy and even by the film itself began to fade away, so too many fell back into their old habits, their old behaviors, and began to drift away again. Far too often, the sinful heart wants to use God, to come to Him not because He is the God who has created and redeemed us, but because of the pressure of worldly concerns or needs. Put bluntly, the sinful heart wants to use God, not thank and praise, serve and obey Him. Left to ourselves, our hearts will be as fickle as those of the Jews, praising one day and reviling on another. If you will not repent, you are in danger of destruction. By nature, we lack patience and endurance of faith to sustain ourselves. We need that which only God can give, and so we pray that He would conform us to the image of Christ in patience. Christ patiently suffers all, even death, for us, and makes us partakers of His resurrection. We are not saved because of our patience, or our love, or anything else in us. We are saved because of God's free gift of salvation. Now, if you or I would not repent, we would be lost. But to those who repent and believe in Jesus Christ, to them God freely gives the gift of eternal life. When Jesus came to Jerusalem, He indeed was just in having salvation. He knew that His people would reject Him, and yet He came to suffer and to die, so that all who would repent and believe in Him would be saved. He comes not just to save a city. Rather, He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth, as we hear in the words of Zechariah chapter 9. No one is excluded from the gift. He who believes and is baptized is saved in Christ. Christ Jesus still speaks peace to the nations. His suffering, death, and resurrection are proclaimed when His word is taught in its truth and purity. The words, "given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins," remind us that through the Holy Sacrament, Christ gives each of us, to each who is repentant, the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal life. The one who was king is still king and shall reign forever. And those whom He calls to be His people shall serve Him in righteousness forever. In the cross of Christ, we see the love of God for us, that He would not even spare His own Son to accomplish our salvation. We see the love of Christ, that for the sake of His people, He would suffer all, even death, to save us. In the resurrection from the dead, Jesus is exalted, the King reigns forever, and in glory He will one day come to end this world of sin and pain, and bring His people into that kingdom which never fades away, never loses its glory, but will endure forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who hast sent Thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon Him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of His great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of His patience and also be made partakers of His resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with Thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. We also invite you to join us for the special worship services during this week of Holy Week. We will have a service on Monday, Thursday, at 7:30 in the evening, and also on Friday, Good Friday, at 10 a.m. in the morning and at 7:30 in the evening. We also invite you to join us for the Easter celebration next Sunday, beginning with the sunrise service at 7 a.m. and divine service at 10:30 a.m. The Easter breakfast will follow the sunrise service. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the members and friends of Salem Lutheran Church.